Tonight's message is entitled Faithfulness and Ministry Companions. Now imagine you're out in the woods, you're out in the bush, and you're camping in a remote area that is known to have wild animals. And during the late fall night, a fierce thunderstorm rips your tent and drenches everything. You have no choice but to hike some distance, more than 2 kilometers, through the woods to your vehicle. Which of the following would be most reassuring as you travel? Which of the following would be most reassuring to bring with you? Number one, dry clothes. Number two, your favorite cookies. How about someone to go with you? Or an MP3 player? I would believe that in many cases, if all you could bring is someone with you, you would bring someone along. Because in that dark, turbulent, stormy night, it does impact your feelings. Obviously, if you didn't have a headlamp, it would be even more fearful. For many, it really heightens the level of fear and the mind racing when you are alone. What value is a companion as you go through this trek? You know what? It's helpful to have someone else with you to help you bring reason to the situation. Your mind might be getting flustered and frustrated, and as you're able to bounce ideas off each other as you're going on this hike through the bush. You know, we are a people of relationships. The presence of another person is incredibly helpful to our psyche. Another person is also a form of accountability. And we may react more sanely for fear of looking insane in a fearful situation. It reminds me one time back when I was in university, I said, you know what, it was an early morning, and it was like 4 or 5 in the morning, and I said, you know what, I'm going to get up, I'm going to drive probably 45 minutes, I'm going to get to a mountain, and I'm going to get on top of this mountain, and I'm going to just do my devotions up here. And I thought, man, this is going to be the greatest idea ever. I was excited about it. I got up there, I had my Bible open, it was beautiful, sunrise, overlooking the water. I mean, it was just gorgeous. And then I began to hear sounds. And out there in the West Coast, it is known to have cougars. And I began to hear some noises that in my mind, as they were racing, I thought it was a cougar. So I hightailed it out of there. I tried to find a shortcut to get out of there quicker. I never saw a cougar, but my mind raced. And ended up getting lost in the woods for some time. I finally found my way out. But and you know what? It would have been helpful to have a companion to say, hey, why don't you turn around and go back and let's figure it out, you know? Or someone to say, hey, oh, you know, that's just the noise of the trees, or that's the noise of, you know, dripping water or something else, you know, some precipitation. But my mind wandered. And Paul closes this letter out with a look at companions in ministry. In the three New Testament letters that we have seen, there's three successive themes. You find Philemon teaches forgiveness, obviously, as there was a slave that ran away from his master, and that slave ended up getting saved and was a great benefit to the Apostle Paul. You have Titus shows godliness, and 2 Timothy demonstrates faithfulness, as we have looked at this topic for several weeks. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, and we'll read through the remaining of the chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth. But Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. Lord Jesus Christ, be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." The principle tonight is companionship in ministry is vital, and the Lord's companionship is essential. We'll look at those two ideas tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this evening. Lord Jesus, I am so thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand and preach your Holy Word. Father, it is a privilege and not a right. Lord, I pray that as I preach, Lord, that you'd give me the words, the exact words to say, the thoughts to think. And Lord, I pray that if anyone is discouraged tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd help them, encourage their hearts, lift them up. Father, we need each other. And Lord, that's the beauty of an opportunity to minister alongside one another. As Galatians talks about, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, we have that opportunity to encourage one another. And Father, I am so thankful for your church. I'm thankful for salvation. And God, may you be glorified this evening. We commit it to thy charge. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. In the passage of Scripture, we find that the Apostle Paul had companions who strayed. There was a gentleman named Demas. Verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me. Demas had been with Paul, the Apostle Paul, as found in the book of Colossians, as well as in the book of Philemon. Demas was a man who was a great help. He had been with Paul during his first imprisonment. And yet here, he forsakes Paul. The word Paul used to speak of giving the idea of forsaking a person in a difficult situation. And he goes on here, Demas not only left Paul, he left him at a moment when he really, really, really needed help. And Demas said, I'm out of here. Have you ever had someone abandon you when you really needed it? And you're like, come on, help me out. And they're out of there. They're like, I'm not staying. And you're like, I'm all alone. It tells us that Demas left because he had a different love than Paul. If someone's going to serve in the ministry, it ought to be people that love God. Someone who loves themselves or loves the pleasures of this life is not going to, when the battle gets hot, they're out of there. They're going to eject as fast as possible and they're gone and they won't help you. Demas loved the world just as a Christian is supposed to love the appearing of Christ. And as we get an opportunity to look forward to Jesus coming back, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Loving the world system is evidence of a grave problem. That I don't love God. And Demas over time proved he didn't love God. Have you ever started something with someone, started a ministry with someone, and only to have them leave you? It's really discouraging. Imagine yourself on trial for a capital crime. The death penalty awaits you if you're found guilty, and you have no lawyer, no one willing to be a witness on your behalf. In verse 16, this is the case of the Apostle Paul. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I mean, on the very place, on the precipice of entering into eternity, on your death, if you're found guilty in court, no one's with you. I mean, you look around, not a person that is for you. Every person that's there is against you. And there you stand all by yourself. And you're thinking, man, I have labored for God and no one can come to my court case. There's no one that will stand by my side. God, I've given my life for you and now I am abandoned in my final trial. That's a way that we can get. That is the attitude that you and I can have. There were Christians in Rome, but not when Paul was on trial. We find in verse 11 here, Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. Luke must have arrived at a later time. But you want to know something remarkable about this desertion, being all by yourself? In the latter portion of verse 16, notice with me, the second half of verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Apostle Paul saying, God, would you forgive those who deserted me? Isn't that what Jesus did on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that what Stephen did as he was being killed and stoned to death? What did Paul demonstrate about the value he placed on companions and ministry by forgiving those who had deserted him? He understood that ultimately any desertion against him was a desertion against God. A desertion against him, as Demas's case, was a man who set his priorities elsewhere. Paul understood, as we find here, verse 17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me. And there are times you may be out in the cold and the storm all by yourself. And you're in a hard spot. And you appreciate it. You know what happens when you've been out there all by yourself and you're cold and you've been fighting the battle by yourself just as the Apostle Paul was, and then someone comes alongside to help you. You know what? You really appreciate them. The Apostle Paul, he had such companions. He had some people that, yes, he had Demas who'd forsaken him when he really needed it. But in verse 10, it says, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. And there were some companions who had been with the Apostle Paul earlier. Crescens had departed to Galatia, which was some distance east of Ephesus, where Timothy was serving at the time. Here's some men that were with him, but the Apostle Paul said, I want you to leave and go minister for Christ. So he would have had men with him, but he told them, go serve God elsewhere. Titus was in Crete. And then later, Titus would go to Dalmatia. And verse 12, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Titus 3:12, when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Crescens and Titus did not love this present world. They love God. And they had been faithful to the ministry, and they're serving in their respective areas, and they're probably alone as well. They had left Paul to do God's will. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3, For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. And there was a gentleman here, obviously in 1 Corinthians 5, the gentleman that was sleeping with his dad's wife, his stepmom. But Paul is saying, church, I'm there with you in spirit. Paul could have enjoyed the fellowship and the spirit as Crescens and Titus would know that the Apostle Paul was on trial. And I bet you they were praying for one another. The only worker in the gospel still that was with Paul, as we find in verse 11, was Luke. Luke was actually was with the Apostle Paul quite consistently. From the middle of the second journey, missionary journey, through the third, the imprisonment of Caesarea, the trip to Rome, and the first imprisonment, and finally the second imprisonment, Luke was with the Apostle Paul. And it's interesting that Luke, who was a Gentile doctor, would be the only one with Paul in his final days. Where is everyone else? Why is it just me? Why is it just us? It gets that way sometimes in ministry. Paul may have sent Tychicus in verse 12 to Ephesus to be Timothy's replacement so that Timothy could come to him. If you recall, Timothy was kind of like the Apostle Paul's son in the faith, as it's mentioned in Scripture. And Paul and Timothy had a very close relationship. I mean, they talked a lot about a lot of different things. Obviously, the book of 1 Timothy and the book of 2 Timothy were penned by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, who was a pastor. And his heart, the Apostle Paul and Timothy's heart, was knit together spiritually as they served God together. Their focus was right. And here is the Apostle Paul, in a moment when things get really rough and you're all by yourself, it's easy to get into a pity party. It's easy to look at what is going on. The Apostle Paul, though, here, as he's saying, Lord, please don't hold it to their charge. Father, I know I've got Luke that's with me. You find in Colossians 4:7 about the gentleman Tychicus, Colossians 4:7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant of the Lord. I mean, Paul declares great things about Tychicus. He was a beloved brother. He was a faithful minister. He was a fellow servant. I mean, they were just men that loved God, and they were bold in their witness, and they were fervent, and they had courage, and they had faithfulness, and they wouldn't stop. Storms didn't stop them. And Paul had sent Timothy and a believer named Erastus together into Macedonia during the third missionary journey, as we would find in Acts 19:22. The Apostle Paul would stay in Asia for a time. And as Paul is on trial, Timothy would have to step away from the ministry to go see Paul. So he'd need someone to take over for him. Timothy would have been, I wonder what's going to happen to Paul. Have you ever loved someone? I mean, in the ministry, you're so thankful for them, and you know they're going through a hard time, and you're like, I want to be there for them. That's Timothy. Paul had also mentioned several other people here in this passage of Scripture who had been with Paul in Jerusalem on their third missionary journey. And I mean, they've been there when the uproar of all the Jews were against him, and those that had, falsely accused him and false witness and all such things that put him here in the second imprisonment, and these false assumptions, the Jewish riots. I mean, as they wanted to stone Paul, and sometimes they would stone him almost to the point where they thought he was dead because they had stoned him. Trophimus had been a companion of the Apostle Paul. You have Erasmus, Trophimus, as it says, Trophimus have I left in Miletum sick. In Paul's list of faithful ministers, it teaches us about the need for companions in ministry. The Apostle Paul, as strong as he was, as courageous as he was, as gifted and enabled as God had put upon Paul's life, guess what? Paul needed other people to help him. Paul was not a one-man wonder. The ministry is something that you and I cannot do on our own. None of us, in our abilities, can do it on our own. We need each other. And every person, I mean, Paul just lists in many of the different epistles or letters, if you think about that, epistles or letters, the Apostle Paul pens under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he notes people who are a great help. And just a week ago Sunday, as the Hammonds left, I mentioned a commendation for a woman named Phoebe that the Apostle Paul would list. Paul is a person that understands that in ministry, it takes everyone doing something to accomplish greatness for God. And every person in ministry who was faithful to Christ, whom Paul encountered, they were a great help to him. He lists here also some things in verse 21, do thy diligence to come before winter. He's speaking to Timothy. He said, Timothy, it's getting cold. I could sure use a coat. The first thing he requests of Timothy, to leave his post in Ephesus, verse 21, and come to be with him in Rome. He says, do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeted thee and all the brethren. He says, leave Ephesus and come to Rome. Timothy, I really need you. Timothy, I'm discouraged. Are you such a companion that if you had the ability and someone was greatly discouraged, you would go to their aid to be help them out? The Apostle Paul is here in prison. His death is imminent. He's on court. He's on trial all by himself. And he's saying, Timothy, I could really use your help. I mean, he's writing a letter. So who knows how long, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We don't know how fast the postal, you know, the postal system is. And Timothy was diligent in his efforts. He said, Church, I got to go see Paul. I got to encourage him. He would say in chapter 4, verse 9, just a few verses back, look with me, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, Timothy. I'm getting old here and my time's about gone. Timothy is one of those people that you can depend on. I mean, when you've had a bad day, you know you can reach out to him. Timothy was a great listener. And the Apostle Paul knew death was imminent, and he said, you know what, Timothy, I want to give you a few more tidbits before my life is over. Timothy, you're such a beacon of hope. I know you're going to carry the torch for Christ. Paul's here in a difficult situation, and he needed companionship. He needed just some help. And he trusted the Lord. He also desired the presence of a faithful friend. All his other friends, except for Luke, had been out on ministry or they'd deserted him. Timothy, I could sure use it if you came before winter. It's kind of like, if it was this kind of winter that we're having right now, I'd be like, get on that Concorde jet if it was still running and get here quick because it's cold. I need my coat. Paul also needed his coat, was the second reason. And then we find a third reason here in verse 13. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books. The cloak would have been a heavy coat, provide some warmth there in the cold cell of the jail. Paul left it there in Troas, and then Paul wants the scriptures. Friend, you and I, as we are, you know, in our loneliness, should it come to the days where we are imprisoned? I don't know if it'll come or not. Hopefully Jesus comes back before that. But should it come back to the days where it would cost you imprisonment to follow Christ, I would hope that in each of our hearts we would say, let me have the scriptures. The books were written on papyrus and the parchments were writings on animal skins. And the Apostle Paul, he wanted those Old Testament scriptures, the dear, sweet scriptures. He said, I need some encouragement. I want to hear from God. The Apostle Paul still, as he gave an admonition in 2 Timothy chapter 2, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Apostle Paul says, study, study, study. He's in prison. He is all by himself. No one is there. He's cold. And what is he asking for? Timothy, bring me the scriptures. It's a challenge to you and me on the absolute essentialness, or how essential this book is. I can dive into a lot of self-help books or other things that people may dive into. But nothing is going to cure my soul and provide the encouragement. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul there in prison, and he's sitting there reading the Psalms of David? Many of the things is David is lamenting all the sorrow he's going through. I mean, the Bible gives us, I mean, from the great highs of those who are rejoicing in God's goodness to the utter lows of those who are crying and saying, God, I need your help. The Bible gives us the entire gamut to help us through life. The Apostle Paul is saying, I want to study this book because I want to hear from God. You know who also the Apostle Paul says in this passage of Scripture? In verse 11, he says, Luke is with me, but he says, take Mark. In Acts chapter 13, verses 5 and 13, Mark, Barnabas, and Saul, and John Mark was with them. Barnabas and Paul and John Mark was with them, and John Mark had deserted to go back home. Barnabas was such a man that if someone gave up, he said, you know what, I'm going to work with them. The Apostle Paul was probably a little bit more hardline. He deserted us, I'm done with him. But through the care of Barnabas, see, that's where everyone in ministry is essential. Some people are a Barnabas that if someone deserts, they say, hey, let's go get him and try to recover him. Some people are like the Apostle Paul. He deserted us. Let's just move forward. We're charging ahead. We're all different. Barnabas was able to restore John Mark to where he was a faithful laborer. And then at the end of Paul's life, he said, bring that man. Man, he's such a help. That's because Barnabas didn't give up on him. Mark had been restored to fellowship. And here in the second imprisonment, he says, I want Mark. Isn't that remarkable? We need each other. Ministry is believers serving alongside one another in humility, serving an almighty God, he who is great, to help others. And Paul gave a warning, though, in this passage of Scripture. He says, Timothy, be careful of Alexander. He's a coppersmith. That man will cross you and he'll do a lot of evil to you. You better be careful of Alexander. He's not good. A coppersmith could be a worker in copper or any metal. Perhaps he made, you know, idols to Diana. Maybe he was one of those workers in Paul's, you know, there in the Ephesus during his third missionary trip in Acts 19:23. And the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. Perhaps Alexander was a part of that little riot or that stir against the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul says, he did me, what does he say? Much evil. He said, this man came against me. This man maligned my name. This man tried to ruin me. This guy is evil. Timothy, beware. And if a man opposes God and the gospel, then God, the righteous judge, will go after him. And someday he'll have to answer. He'll be rewarded. Paul's attitude, though, he says, everyone forsook me. He says, all men forsook me. Apostle Paul also suspects that Alexander's going to continue to oppose the Apostle Paul. He's against him. He'll oppose truth. The Apostle Paul says, Timothy, guard yourself. Be careful of that man. He's not good. Timothy, you remember, is a young man. And that's why, you know, Apostle Paul said, don't let him despise your youth. But he would say, Timothy, be careful of this man. He's not been a friend of the ministry. You better be careful of him. Stay away. You know what happens in companionship and ministry? You look out for each other's back. You've got each other's six, if you want to think about it. You got the backside. As I remember when we would do some drills there in the military, you would want someone to cover your six, cover behind you. I don't want to get stabbed or shot in the back. That's what a companion does or ought to do. And Timothy also gives, you know, greetings to Priscilla and Aquila and those who've been great help. And the couple had fled from Rome, obviously, because of persecution. And they had been with Paul in several places, and yet they weren't with him here. Now they're in Ephesus, they're serving the Lord with Timothy, and Onesiphorus, another very faithful man, received Paul's greetings along with the household. Verse 22, as we see here, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit, or 2 Timothy 4:22. And we find in the latter portion, the second epistle unto Timotheus, ordained the first bishop of the church of the Ephesians, was written from Rome when Paul was brought before Nero the second time. If you've ever done any study on Nero in Rome, I don't know if you've ever done it, or maybe you've read the book, Fox's Book of Martyr, and it describes Nero. I mean, this guy he was wicked evil man. I mean, it would be the equivalent of taking a Jeffrey Epstein, putting him into a high political position, which he was. I mean, just vulgar, perverse, disgusting, ruthless man. That was Nero. And he murdered many, many Christians. I mean, the guy was evil, and this is the time with which the Apostle Paul is ministering. And the gospel is flourishing. Churches are being started in dark times. And Paul's desire is that God's blessings would be on Timothy. Timothy, let's take the torch and run with it. You still got a lot of spirit in you. The word spirit is used very similar to the word soul, but there is a distinction between soul and spirit and the fact that spirit is our non-material part that communicates with God. And Paul desired the favorable presence of God and his grace to be upon Timothy. Now, I want you to look with me at verse 17. So I've mentioned about the companions in ministry. We need other people to help us, to walk alongside of us, to pray with us. Have you ever had some really discouraging days? You said, "Hey, would you just come and pray with me?" And you're like, "Yep, let's pray together." But as Paul nears the end and he's forsaken by all others, he doesn't have a focus on himself. Notice with me, in this final, I mean, 2 Timothy is the last book penned by the Apostle Paul before his head is cut off. Who is he? What is he admonishing? He's not saying, "Look at me, look at what I've done." He's saying, "Look at all these people that have helped me in the ministry. Look at what God has done." Apostle Paul is showing a demonstration of a selfless life. But the greatest faithfulness comes in verse 17. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Friend, you can have good Christians that'll come to your aid. But ultimately, at the end of the day, no one can provide a peace like the Almighty God. No one's going to strengthen you and encourage you. To have God stand there with Paul. And I imagine it's a very fearful. Can you imagine standing there? You're innocent. You have not done a thing wrong other than you have professed Christ. And you're all by yourself. And here is the judge. And you have multitudes of people potentially with false accusations against you. And you want to say, "I'm innocent, judge." And the judge says, "Guilty," off with his head. That would be a fearful thing. You have to say goodbye to all your friends, any family remaining. You're saying goodbye to everyone. You're by yourself. And the Apostle Paul says, in that fearful moment, when I needed help, God was there with me. And he strengthened me. And he stood with me. And he delivered me. Friend, that comes back to the truth of Hebrews 13:5. Let's read that here for a second. You can have some lonely, lonely, hard days. And our resource of help and encouragement is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is more than just for salvation. In verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, 'I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.'" Verse 6 of Hebrews 13, Hebrews 13, 6, "So that we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.'" The Apostle Paul could say the same words. Paul had been carrying out the very great commission. "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." The Apostle Paul could say, "He didn't forsake me. When I needed him, he was right there." And Paul could sense the very presence of God. You know what, friend? If I am doing what God wants me to do, whether I'm in good times or bad times, God stands with me. Roman governmental dignitaries, other than the required legal officials, may have packed the courtroom here in Paul's case. Paul had no lawyer. He was his own lawyer. He was on trial for preaching the gospel. And so in his defense, he gives the gospel again. It comes, look with me at Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. Philippians 4:12. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and at all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If I'm willing to do all that God wants me to do, God says, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. You've got to do what I want you to do. And when you do, and you're walking with me, and you're obeying me, and you're doing what you ought to be doing, God says, listen, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm right there by your side. Other people can desert you. Other people can abandon you at your time of greatest need. But God says, I'm not leaving you. Apostle Paul would learn earlier in ministry, as we had spoken about, in season and out of season. Here's an out of season time. Paul could have rationalized his way out of, you know, putting his faith in God. Paul says, I don't care if I'm doing really well or I'm doing really poor. He's like, Apostle Paul is very poor, in prison, hardly any clothes. And yet he's still preaching Christ. I want to ask you, what is it going to take to stop you from doing what God has called you to do? What is it going to take for God, for you to stop proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is it going to take to stop you? A fear of a little bit of loss of something that you like? A fear of something else losing? A fear of a little bit of ridicule. Apostle Paul says, I'm going to keep serving Christ. Timothy, keep your head up. Keep the gospel in front of you. And Timothy, hold what I've told you to do. God's going to strengthen you, Timothy. In 2 Timothy 4:6, the Apostle Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm about ready to die. I'm about ready to be promoted into glory. But God would keep Paul safe from the forces of evil, who would like to snatch him out of God's hands and thwart God's plans for his life. There was nothing that stopped Paul from accomplishing and moving forward in the very mission with which God gave to him. Paul was faithful. And God was faithful, as we find here in verse 7. Verse 17. The Lord stood with me. Maybe you've gone through some hard times. I want to ask you, in those hard times, were you serving God or were you not serving God? If you're not serving God, then get back to serving Him. Get back to putting Christ first. Get back to that precious time in the morning when you're meditating on God's Word and His Spirit speaking to your spirit and you're praying and you're just pleading with God, help me this day. I don't know how I'm going to make it through it. And God will stand by you. Here's a question for you as I bring this to a close this evening. To whom could you provide the blessing of Christian companionship this week? Could you assist a person in the ministry for Christ or request their assistance with your ministry? Could you share with that person a testimony of Christ, God's faithfulness to you? Maybe contact a friend who you haven't spoken to in a while to encourage them or write them a note of thanks. Verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, I love this truth. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You can't do wrong by serving Christ. Companionship with others, we need each other. I mean, ministry is a hard task already. But to do it alone makes it even harder, just like in the case of Jeremiah. But in Paul's case, he had a team, and God did mighty things with just a handful of people that stuck together. They watched out for one another. They watched out for the evils of one another. Hey, Timothy, be careful of Alexander. Stay away from that evil man. I wouldn't talk to him. He's a sly old fox. On 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How about Ecclesiastes 4:12? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You take three strong believers for Christ doing something for God, and they'll encourage one another, and they'll do great things. This whole idea of trying to separate people and isolate them breaks us up where we break down and we can't encourage one another. We need each other. We encourage, we lift up, we build up. And in the final thought, verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Friend, companionship with Christ is foundational. We just have to get back to the truth. You know what? Though all forsake me, I'm just going to stay with Christ. It sure be nice to have others with me. Sure be nice to have helpers. But you know what? Even if others abandon me and they go like Demas and they're serving themselves, I'm going to let the Lord strengthen me. I'm going to let God lead me. It's a hard day and age. We have a time where we like people with us. We like people to like us. You get social media and you get the likes and the cares and all sorts of different expressions, I guess, on particular posts and other things. And we can get encouragement from that, but there's nothing like, in a hard day, someone comes alongside you, puts their arm around you and just said, can I pray with you? We need to look out for one another. Look out for the six. Look out for maybe other people who might, you can see something's off, but don't quite know what's going on. You look out for each other. And let's also keep ourselves close to the Lord, strengthened by Him, and watch God do great things. Companionship. I need the companions of other believers, and ultimately I need the companionship of Christ. And I trust this message this evening. If I could have Miss Pat come forward, we'll have a time of invitation. I just want to encourage, I hope this was an encouragement to your heart. It sure was to mine. As you just think about, a lot of people have forsaken you. We as a church, we've had some losses and some other things that have gone on, and it can get discouraging. But you know what? We still have a God that stands by our side. And may that be the encouragement that we need to keep fighting forward. Keep the gospel in front. Keep Christ preeminent and make God first and foundational in our life. As the music plays, I trust tonight, maybe you're discouraged, I trust, and maybe there's some areas in your life that you've maybe forsaken others. Get back to doing right. Just get back to God. Christian, maybe you haven't forsaken others, but others have forsaken you. Could we get to the position? God, please don't hold it against them. Lord, I forgive them. Lord, they deserted me, but God, I forgive them, and I just ask that you would forgive them and just stand by me, Lord. That's what I need. There's nothing like having the presence of Almighty God there by my side at your greatest hour. I trust that would be the plea of our heart. God, just stand by me. heads bowed and eyes closed, draw it to a close here at the end of the song. I'll pray. I trust that if you're struggling, feel free to reach out. But also plead with God. Say, Lord, I need you. And if you're doing against what God wants you to do, get back into the way. Get back on the saddle. And start moving forward for the Lord. God will use you. He'll stand by you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're willing to follow him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this evening. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the wonderful word of God. Father, this passage of scripture really was a tremendous encouragement to my heart and a blessing. And Lord, I pray it was to those who are listening. God, I ask that we would be such a companion as the Apostle Paul had there for Timothy and Luke and even like Mark. He messed up at first several times. But Barnabas never gave up on him, and he was very profitable to the ministry thereafter. God, could you use us in a great way? Help us to be a good companion in ministry. Help us to keep our hearts right. And Father, of greatest importance, Lord, I pray, I just want you to stand by me. I need you, and we all need you. Thank you for your grace. If anyone does not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, Father, I pray, they'd call out to you and ask you to forgive them of their sins and be their Savior. Lord, you fulfill your promises. I love you. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' precious name.